Welcome to Let's Get Busy, presented by the Kutztown University Small Business Development Center. I'm your host, Carly Commando, and each week we dive into the world of entrepreneurship with insights, advice, and stories from real business owners who are making things happen. Whether you're just starting out, looking to grow, or simply hungry for knowledge, this is the place where busy small business owners get the tools and inspiration they need to thrive. Let's roll up our sleeves and get busy. Welcome everybody to Let's Get Busy. This is the podcast where we talk everything small business and we dive into the tools that you need to thrive. I'm Carly Commando. I'll be your host for this semester's podcast. And today we're joined by our very own bilingual business consultant at Kutztown University SBDC, Lorena Bravo.
Thanks for having me. I feel so honored to be the first on your sessions of podcasts.
Well, I picked you because when I met you during the KU-SBDC orientation and the initial meeting where all of us got to meet each other, I felt very connected with you across the room, even though we had really yet to meet. And the things that you had to say about being a female business owner in the Lehigh Valley just really spoke out to me, and I wanted to get to know you. So this is a great way for me to get to know you better and to all of our listeners. So thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So I just kind of want to open it up. Speaking of all things small business and keeping it local in Pennsylvania, what is your favorite hangout?
I have to go with PA House in Hellertown. I know the owners personally, and I love them as people, but the place truly to me is all people, which is a big part of business. But from the moment that you walk in and you're greeted by the first person to the person that takes you to your table, who might be different, to the person that serves your drink, and the person that brings your food throughout, there's an atmosphere of really great culture, and that bleeds into the food that is served, the music that is played.
Yes.
The music list is excellent. The atmosphere inside and outside, whether you're there to get a cup of Joe outside, or you're coming in for a drink, or you're just getting together with friends for pizza, it's consistently the same vibe of good people, good work, good everything else. It just all goes together.
That's a really good point. For anybody listening, PA House also has an Airstream out front of their business that I believe is open Wednesday through Sundays from, I don't know the entire hours, but it's seasonal. So it's spring through fall, and they do coffee. And so anyone who lives in that area of Hellertown, it's a really great way. You get your coffee and then you get on the Saucon Rail Trail, and it's like you get your sweet treat and your exercise on, and it's very cool. But to echo what you said, PA House really does have that vibe. Like, I've experienced the same thing where everybody, like the entire feel of that business, it makes you feel like you're wanted there.
What's yours?
I love everything. I'm going to plug right now, because my life depends on this business, Lit Coffee Roaster in Bethlehem. The coffee that they use in-house is Monocacy coffee. And so I exclusively buy Monocacy beans, and all of my coffee that all the coffee that I drink is made from their beans. So Lit Coffee Roastery and like cafe is great, like even if you're just getting a beverage to go, but me and my husband, we get the beans and we make cold brew.
Nice.
So I have to say, very much, they are a part of my day every day.
Very cool. So, yeah. All right.
Yeah. So we got two businesses for you to check out. And I guess three if you include the coffee Airstream, which I believe is called Hello Joe.
Yes.
Trying to remember this stuff on the fly. So I would like to start when you were maybe working your first job. Do you remember what your first job was? And did it teach you anything about business?
Yes. I don't know anybody who doesn't remember their first job, right? That's like, I think, etched in my mind. But that's for a couple of reasons. One was I came to the U.S. when I was 16 years old. And my first job was when I was 16 years old. which is whenever I was able to just, I knew that I could work, which was, it's not something that is popular in Colombia, where mm-hmm. I'm from. So the minute that I learned that I could work, I was all for it. And I saw this sign at Wendy's, and the Wendy's that's by, it's in Fogelsville.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw the sign at Wendy's, and I asked my mom at the time to help me complete the application because she knew more English than I did. And together we went to my interview, and all I remember from that was, you know, all of my answers were yes, no answers. And the manager at the time just said, yeah, you can work. You'll only just not be speaking to clients, mm-hmm. or customers. So I know how to flip a burger. I know how to work the fryer. I know how to do different things. I love Wendy's, by the way. It was a great experience. What I learned from that first job was, number one, that being fluent in English was not a requirement for mm-hmm. me to be able to work, mm-hmm. which was kind of cool for me as at 16. That process is very important. I needed to understand the process, but the process visually was very easy for me to follow. Mm-hmm. And if a timer went off, I understood that the baked potatoes were done, mm-hmm. or that I needed to take out fries from the fryer. And so visually, I just learned from that the process was so important that if it's done properly, just like the people part,
mm-hmm.
that you can run a very successful, very fluid business that is timely, because process gets the job done.
That's awesome. Did you feel like, I don't know if you can remember this far back, but being a 16-year-old girl speaking very little English, what was the job environment like for you there? Were people supportive of you?
I don't remember.
Okay.
I don't remember. And honestly, the very first time that I ever caught on to a conversation where maybe later on I realized that I was probably being laughed at or being bullied was because I understood more English.
Mm-hmm.
And
I
was at school. But at that time, I think something positive about not being fluent and not knowing English properly, I guess, mm-hmm. Was that if anybody was saying anything about me, I didn't understand.
Yeah.
Not to the extent where it was making my life complicated. Only my mom hated it because I always smelled like bacon at the end of the day. And she didn't love that. But I love Wendy's. I still do. They have the best social media, in my opinion. And also the best burgers.
Shout out Wendy's.
Yes.
Did they have Frosties,
yes.
when you were working there? Yeah. Were you part responsible for the Frosty machine at all?
No.
Okay. Because, you were just on in like kitchen.
Because that was also more client facing.
Ah, okay.
The Frosty's always by the window.
Yep.
Where you get your food.
That's right.
And so, and that was a way, I think, of my manager at the time protecting me, too, that if I was never exposed to a client maybe asking something and me not being able to respond. So
yeah,
I was always in the back of the house. I know how to cut a lot of tomatoes.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Any tips for us on how to cut a tomato and not lose our finger?
If you want to do it fast, you should wear the glove that has, the mesh glove.
Oh, a mesh? I thought you were going to say a latex glove.
No, the mesh one, because it's like, it's no joke. You got to be quick. It's part of the process.
I love so much process. And it all began at Wendy's. This is amazing.
Oh, my gosh. I actually have a picture.
We need to,
I'll send it to you, and you can put it in your video.
This is the part of the video podcast where we show this picture of Lorena. Well, I love this story because it shows your resiliency as a child to have this job, right? Like, and that's such a formative year for you, your teenage years. like you said, you're right. I do remember my first job because it's like just this intense first experience. And so I feel like for you, I'm hearing so much resiliency and also capability for you to learn something in a new environment, not knowing the language, but also prove that anybody can do it. It's all about the process.
Yeah.
Which is a really important piece of the business puzzle.
Yeah,
so
it is.
I love it. So this is continuing on with your first job ever. So in terms of your background, what inspired you to pursue a career in business consulting, and how did you find your way specifically here at Kutztown?
I actually stumbled upon this. As you know, I was a small business owner for a little over a decade in the Lehigh Valley. And then the pandemic happened. And for the first time, I found myself with a lot of time in my hands, on my hands. You know, I went from working, even though my place was not open every day, I did work every day at my business, no matter what it was, there was some aspect. And with the pandemic, it was a great opportunity for me to sort of step back and take a look at what I had built, where I was at. My business was, we were very fortunate that we were able to access SBA help. And fortunately, I did not lose my business like it happened to many others. Instead, I was able to not have to be so concerned about I'm going to lose my business, and I was able to go back to school. I've always been interested in politics. I'm a KU grad. When I came to Kutztown, because I came to Kutztown when I was, 17 and a half. So
fresh out of Wendy's.
Fresh out of Wendy's. Yes.
Right,
yes.
Into Golden Bear territory.
My language fluency was still not great. Mm-hmm. That's probably a blur. We'll talk about that later. But in any case, I went back to school. I went to Lehigh, and I studied. I got a master's in policy and politics, and I was a community fellow there. And my fellowship experience with the city of Allentown really convinced me that I couldn't go back to owning my business, that I had to be more helpful to businesses, like all of the businesses that lost, all of the business owners that lost their businesses, how could I be helpful to them? Why is it that we were all on the same boat together, but we all did not benefit in the same way?
Mm-hmm.
So I kept my business open for a little while. And then after that, I really wanted to be more in service of others. This position with Kutztown became available, I believe, at the beginning of this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I applied. I always look forward to any opportunity where I can use bilingualism to be a part of that. It's in the role that it's a bilingual business consultant, and that's how I came to be here. It feels like I'm back home, which is really awesome.
That's such a fascinating journey too, especially hearing how you began at Wendy's and how you just focused on the task and the process and just holding down this job, and then going to Kutztown, and then starting your business, going back to school at Lehigh, getting your master's, continuing your business, and then working with others and learning, I now want to give back. So you found your way, and now you're helping other people, which I think is such a great experience that you have your experience, and now you get to help other people and make them feel comfortable and capable in these positions. And there's one nugget where you mentioned the SBA. Can you explain that to our listeners, what the SBA is?
So at the Small Business Administration is a federal office, and an office that, we're taking it way back, but I had a business in the service industry. Because the service industry, there are basically what happens if you're a hairdresser, for example, and you have other hairstylists, the way that banks look at that type of business is that if somebody leaves, they leave with their clients. And for the most part, that is very much true. And so the business is kind of volatile.
Yep.
And so I was never eligible for traditional business loans. I mean, how I started my business was on credit cards, being a waitress, doing other things to be able to self-finance. I was never able to access that. But when I needed to access it, when it was vital that I access that, it turns out that the way that I set up my business was proper. And so it was a matter of filling out some forms and being able to show my profit and my growth and other things. And I was able to access that. So working with the SBA later on was very easy and great. It was wonderful. I'm still paying for an SBA loan, but it is, I'm grateful for it. Not many small business owners get to access that. And that's attributed to a couple of things. But one of the main reasons why I'm here, why I work as a consultant, because I feel like I was able to crack that code. And when it mattered, when I needed it, and if I can be that person for anybody else to give guidance, then I want to be able to do that. So
I love that. You mentioned the finance part of it, and that's for me personally, and maybe others listening to this, maybe why you're listening to this, is that, you know, you need passion to start a business, right? You need to be passionate about this idea and that you're going to make a difference, your purpose, your objective. But the money part sometimes can be really overwhelming and confusing. And I'm really fortunate that I'm working with our own financial consultants just to see how the process works with my own business, because I'm really curious how the KUSBDC works with its clients. But I know that I could do better. And if anyone's struggling with that aspect, you're not alone. Right. This is what this podcast is here for you to understand, that we are all in this together. You are not alone. Lorena's here to help you because she personally knows that it's not simple.
Right. No, and for me, I actually never even knew about the SBDC until this past year when I was looking at business consulting. I never accessed what business owners get to access, and that was just because I didn't know. But I did have great advisors, and I owe it to them to be able to get the help that I needed. Obviously, that's help that I paid for. But when you're working on your business, it is so vital to have, whether it is a free service or one that you're paying out of pocket for, that it is sound, good advice that sets you in the right direction. So it's all good stuff.
And for those of you that haven't seen it yet, Lorena is the star of one of our new videos.
It's not even published yet.
It's not published yet, but it might be by the time this podcast comes out.
Okay.
So Lorena is the star of explaining to folks exactly what the KUSBDC is, who it's for, and who qualifies for it. So do you want to just rattle off real quickly, like from memory, not your script necessarily, but what's the main, like, who are we for, the KUSBDC? Like,
basically any business that has less than 500 employees, there's a range of profit that your business can or cannot make, but overall it's 38.5 million or lower in revenue, and you have to be a for-profit company. Or, I mean, you don't even have to have a company that's established. You could just be thinking about having a business. And so just having an idea is perfect. What else? What else do we talk about? For profit. Oh, and you also cannot be part of a bigger company. So there's nuance to it. If there's a question, ask.
Yes. PASBDC.org.
Yes.
Has all the information that you need. And also you can get in touch with us as Perfect. Well to answer any of your questions. Well, I was going to ask how your small business owner has shaped how you've, you know, your approach to helping other professionals today, which I feel like you kind of answered that, but do you have like a final thought on that? How your experience has shaped you to be helping other people? I know I asked you that before.
Envelops it. It really fully does. It's not even a little bit or not, you know, it's all of it. My experience has been, I know exactly what that person might have fears about, what they might get excited about, what they might not want to talk about. So, and I'm a very empathetic person, and I feel for that. I always wanted someone to care about my business as much as I did. And so I strive to bring that same level of care that you care about this much, and you're really letting me into your world and your dreams and this thing that you've been thinking about for a long time, so like sometimes for years, and that's such a huge privilege. And business ownership is very lonely. It's very isolating when you're having highs. The highs are high, but the lows are very low. And being able to have someone who's been there, I get it. I get it. I get having a disgruntled employee. I also get sharing in the wealth, right? I get having somebody walk away with all of you, the clients that you help build and bring in. I also get hiring really great people and losing great people that you are excited to let go because they're going to go on and move on to do bigger and better things. So I've been there, I think 10 years is a good time. And, you know, I started on my own. I hired people, I fired people, I had contractors. I went from being a sole proprietor to having an S-Corp. So I've been able to touch on so many levels of my business, having contracts. I had a failed partnership. That'll be the next
podcast.
But I've been on all of those things. And there's so much power in me being able to say, you know, I know that this is on your mind right now, but that's actually not that bad, right?
Yeah. I think it's so great that you have this experience to help other people feel safe in their ventures because, like you said, it is lonely and it can be really scary, can be really confusing. There can be so many, there's positives, obviously, in starting your own business, but there can be a lot of like negatives or neutrals that are part of it. And so it's really great that people have someone like you to bounce ideas off or just, I don't know, you're almost like an unofficial financial therapist because you understand, you have that experience. So they're not just talking to someone who's a financial consultant who just went to school for it. You have the experience to back it up. So when they might be expressing a particular concern or a roadblock, there's a good chance you've experienced that and you can be really compassionate and offer advice or just assistance that might be more meaningful than someone that doesn't have that small business expertise themselves.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that you exist.
Thanks.
For many reasons, everybody.
Me too.
Thank you so much for listening. Stay tuned for part two of this episode coming soon. Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss the continuation of this great conversation.